Revelation chapter 8. Whenever we turn to the book of Revelation, we can say, ooh, what's going on? What's this going to be about, huh? And this is something that is coming, right? It will be, but then we're going to make an application to it and just in a meditation of God hearing our prayers and receiving our prayers. So Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. That picture of our prayers ascending before God. Right? That we pray. How many people pray? We pray earnestly, we pray sincerely, we pray humbly, we pray, and we don't know. We don't see where it goes, we don't see what happens, like physically. But look at this, we can see. He gives us a little insight that our prayers are rising before God, and they find their way to the throne room of heaven, and He listens. There, God is paying attention, and we have an audience with God. So in the message today, we'll talk about this, like what do our prayers do? Where do they go? How do they land? Right? That'll be the thought. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together in your name. Lord, that is everything. We're here in your name. Thank you. Bless our worship. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Greater is He who's living in me than he who's in the world. Okay, open with me to Acts chapter 4. Following the story here, we know in Acts 3, the lame man is healed. He goes into the temple. He's leaping and praising God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are not so pleased about it. Why are they not so pleased about it? Because it was done in the name of Jesus. And they were supposed to have gotten rid of that name, right? They were supposed to have gotten rid of that nuisance, the name of Jesus. But these guys came and they said, what name and what authority? Or what power and what authority? And they said, in the name of Jesus. And remember, Peter flipped it around on them. And he said, whom, by the way, you should believe in, because it's the only name that God has given by which man should be saved. The Sanhedrin's response is, okay, we have to let him go. I mean, there's nothing we can really do because there's an obvious miracle. And in a sense, they're saying we have chosen not to recognize God's work, but instead in our pride and in our self-righteousness, we're going to just, you know, intimidate these guys and hopefully it goes away. How did that work out? They went right back to it. Right? They went right back to it. So here, and we're going to read from verse 23 to 31 and see how it went with the disciples. The point of intimidation and what we've seen in the past decades with terrorism, right? Terrorism, what is the idea? Terror, right? So that, my life would be changed out of fear of what could happen, right? That I would not do what I have the freedom to do because I'm afraid to do it. Right? And there has been, you know, we've seen terrorism in different parts of the world and it is looking to disrupt things. And, just the idea, we can think about that idea. They are here trying to use fear to deter these guys from continuing in Jesus' name. So, here's their response, verse 23. In being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Can you imagine, right? They went in, they said, what happened? And Peter and John are telling the story, right? They were like this, and we were like, wow, and they said, wow, and Peter was like, whoa, right? And the whole story is going on. They tell the whole thing. They tell the whole story. Of how the Pharisees or the Sadducees had tried to limit them, had tried to intimidate them. But Peter could have said, I don't know what came over me. I don't know what happened, but I had this boldness and this authority to stand there and say, whether you think it's right for me to obey you or to obey God, you can be the judge, but I will obey God. Isn't that the case? Isn't that a beautiful statement? And we can live that way also. All right, that whether that's fine. You do what you have to do in your confines, but I am following God and He is leading me. All right, so, and then they said, whoa, you said that? You said that to the Sanhedrin? He said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what came over me, but I just felt, you know. They said, didn't you just like deny Christ before a little girl at a door? He says, come on guys, let's not bring that up again. Let's talk about what I just did, huh? Come on. And so this is the story they are going. And when they had heard it, verse 24, they raised their voice to God with one accord. They heard it, and what did they understand about the story? That God had come through. That God was faithful. That the things that Christ had told them were coming to pass. That Jesus said, you will be brought before people and they will try to pin you to the wall. This is my paraphrase. They will try, but what do? You stand there and you open your mouth and I will fill it. Luke chapter 21. Do you think that God could give you the words and the confidence and the time if He's called you to it? Being a parent could be intimidating. I know, like thinking, not having kids and thinking of having kids, they're thinking of having a teenager. Right? Whoa! When we found out Jess was pregnant with Riley, my immediate thing was, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to deal with a teenage girl. Right? Again. Right? I did it once, but I was a teenage guy, but now it's a different view. Right? I said, oh man, I was intimidated. And how on earth am I gonna manage that? I don't know. I still don't know. But that's like, it's different, isn't it? Because she wasn't born. But when she's born, you meet a person. And the person grows and you grow with the person. And by the time you get to the next thing, you're not there, you're here. Like God is that way with us. And we can look at the world and we say, Lord, you've called me to this time. I am way over my head. And He said, no, but you're relating to me. And if you're relating to me, you're hearing from me, and when you are in the place that is bigger than you, or in the time that is bigger than you, I am there. And all I've asked you to do is stand there and open your mouth. And I'll take care of the rest. Like the Sandlot, you know the movie Sandlot? The kid, he can't catch the ball. You hit him in the face and his dad put like a ribeye over his face, right? And what did he said, just put your glove up and I'll take care of the rest. And he hits it into his glove, right? Okay, bad illustration. God is that way with us. He says, I know, you can't do it. I know it's bigger than you. I know. But do you think I can handle it? Yeah. And God is bigger than Benny. Is that the kid's name? Benny with the bat? Yeah. He's bigger. That's not, okay, illustration ends. But God, He will take care of us if we will stand by faith in the time that He has placed us in. So when they heard it, they start to raise their voice to God in praise. Because look at, oh my gosh, Christ told us this. And now it actually happened. Oh my gosh, Jesus spoke these words to me and now I am seeing them happen. The testimonies are there. Isn't that great? That's why we are so encouraged when we hear each other's testimonies, because we say, oh my gosh, that's like what the Bible says. If you look to me, if you seek me, you will find me. If you trust me, I will carry you, right? We see it. So they lift their voice and they say, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all who is in it, all that is in it, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wow, what a story. What a model prayer. What a great little outline we can look at and say that is a beautiful way to see things. That is a beautiful way to understand events and understand things that are happening. And as we look at it, we see a group of people, like a small group of people in a place, and now the opposition is coming, and what is their prayer? What are they thinking about when they are in difficulty? Up until this point, there had the Christian experience had been brief, but also pretty good. Miracles, healings, the day of Pentecost, all of this stuff, but now there's opposition. What is the prayer? It could have been, okay, Lord, that was fun, but we're ready to go home now. Okay, I hope that's it. Like, take us out of the pressure. Take us out of the time of difficulty. Remove us, remove them, whatever. Well, their prayer could have been a way out. Their prayer could have been for an escape. But instead, their prayer was for something in the situation. Give me boldness. Give me wisdom. Give me the words to say in this time. What a difference. I have prayed many times, Lord, get me out of this situation. I have. Like right now. No, I'm just kidding. Lord, give me, go on the gas, on the highway. The needle's bouncing on E, right? The little light, you're like, ah! You're like, Lord, if you get me to the next exit, I will serve you my rest of my life, right? That's all I need, right? Get me out of this situation, right? We think of depression. Lord, just get me out of this. And I heard a testimony of Charles Spurgeon this week, and I don't know many, if you've read his biographies, you know that he had this. He struggled with depression and his darkness. But he said one testimony where he was struggling with it, and he was very kind of upset at God. Why would you do this to me? Because in the pulpit, actually, he had a humor, and people gave him a hard time because he said he had an active humor in his message. And he said, there's not time for that. It's supposed to be serious church. But he had a humor. But so there was a lightness about him. But also, he said, if you only knew what I fought with, is that I fought with depression. And one night he's in prayer and he's like, Lord, deliver me. And God gave him a verse. God gave him an idea. And the next day at church, he spoke on depression. And he spoke about being in a dark place. And he said, a guy came up to him afterwards and he said, brother, we have the same plight. And he said, thank you. I've never heard someone speak about depression. But thank you. Because you spoke about it, and I don't remember the context of the message, the whole thing, he said, I have hope. There's light in my darkness because I know I'm not alone. And he walked away from that morning and he said, well, okay, Lord, I understand that you have put me through things so that I could be a light. And okay, whatever burden you have put on my shoulder, I know it's not there for me to carry by myself. But if you've put it there, I know you will help me carry it, so let's go. And we can see that in our lives. What are we going through? How is it, you know, the parenting, I mentioned parenting, how's it going? Right? People are like, I'm not even going to look over there. No, I'm just kidding. It's amazing. It's a gift from God. It's not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy, or we used to work with a guy. No one said it was going to be easy. Right? No one said it would, but it is worth it. And God is there with us in it. Right? Our marriages are worth it. God is with us in it. And we continue. And we ask for God to show up in the midst of it. Of course, Lord, if it's your will, like even Jesus says in the garden, let this cup pass from me, and that's a whole nother thing. But we could say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I'd rather not go through this. I'd rather not go through discouragement. I'd rather not go through a difficult time with my spouse. I'd rather not have a struggle in the home with my kids. But I understand, Lord, if this is your will, we'll go through it. And I know you're with me. I know you have the ability in it. I know you have the words for me in it. And I know you will give me the attitude to approach it with. Wow. This is their prayer. But it begins here. Look in verse 24. They lift their voice, and what is their immediate thing? The first thing out of their mouth is what? Lord, you are God. You are God. You made heaven and earth. Oh, that's where we want to start, isn't it? That's where we want to start. We could start the prayer by saying, Lord, I am overwhelmed. Lord, the problem is huge. Lord, I don't know. But how about we just pause that thought for a couple minutes or a couple sentences and begin with, Lord, you are God. Lord, you are God. I want to start there. I don't want to climb up on the pile of my problems and say, Lord, this is what's going on. But I want to climb up into the arms of God and be with Him and say, Lord, you are God. And then together we look down on my little hill of problems. The perspective changes things dramatically. We see it in the nation of Israel with the 12 spies who went into the promised land. Two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb. They said, let's go. We are more than able. Let's go right now. Let's go. And they said, no, but there's big people with big walls and big cities and we're little people. And they said, no. Yeah, they're big. They got big walls, but we are in God and nothing is bigger. Nothing can rival Him. Nothing can challenge Him. Nothing can overwhelm Him. And we are in His arms. Let's start our prayers there. Let's start our attitude with being in God. Do I realize the access that I have? Do I realize the reality of who is caring for me, who is loving me, who is drawing me, who is walking with me, and who has put all of these things in front of me? When I was in middle school, we had like a little science fair. Do they still do those, the science fairs? Somebody shows up with like a light plugged into a potato or something, right? Like they're fun, the volcano, the whole thing. And I built a mouse maze. It was so much fun. I built a mouse maze, but I was just observing the mice, right? That was the whole study. Which mouse was smarter or whatever. And I'm just watching the mice go through, and I know where the cheese is, and I know the way because I built the maze, and I get to watch the mice go through it. That's one way of thinking about God, we being the mice, right? That's one way to think about God, that He has just put us in, He organized this whole little thing for us. There's a piece of cheese over there, and let's see if they figure it out, and God's just there, like watching Junior. He's like, oh, no, that's not the way. Oh, He's getting closer. Yeah, go. But like, there's no relationship. Like the two, there's no nature that is shared between the mouse and the human, right? Like there's no connection. But God has created us in His image and His likeness, and He has come down in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. Like, how low is that for God? But He took on a nature like ours so that He can relate to us and He can understand our little frustrations, and He walks through this life with us. And we say, where's the cheese at the end of the tunnel? And He says, no, you are with me. I am your all. In awe and in awe, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the cheese, right? You are with me. I am. You have me. This is eternal life, that you would know me, and that you would walk with me, and that you would see life not as an end to get to, but you would see life as a walk with God, and everything that I have with me is in His plan, and He has given me everything I need for it. Doug and Pivey Jansen. Does anybody know Doug and Pivey Jansen? Right, they're an amazing couple in Baltimore, and they were just great friends of ours. When Jess and I first got married, they're like a few years ahead of us, and they have like kids, and we were just getting married and looking at them, and they were great. And when we started having kids, Pivey said something to Jessica. She said, "With each kid comes God's provision." Like, we could be so overwhelmed. Like, I don't have I don't have enough diapers for the next 3 years or however long they're going to choose to wear those things, right? Like, I don't have enough formula. I don't have, where am I going to get the shoes? They grow out of them so quick. And God is like, whoa. God's responsibility is to provide for each step of the way. Like, raising a child, I know I keep going back to that. It's okay. It's good. Raising a child is not getting them to the cheese. Right? But raising a child is like raising a someone who is able to walk through this world and also recognize God. And have some emotional stability in life because they know God. And have a way of relating to people because they know God. What a healthy place to raise a child here in the church. Isn't it? It is so healthy. It's so good for kids to learn how to interact with people of different ages and stuff. It's so healthy. It's a real community where we are together and we are challenging each other and we are loving each other. We are respecting each other's parenting because we're all different, aren't we? Right? We're all different. It's so good. We don't raise our kids exactly the same way. And then they all come to church together and it's like somehow it works. Like it's all different, but it's good and it's healthy and it keeps us all refreshed and going. We need it. Bring the kids. I love this morning. It was like a chorus coming from everywhere. The kids, the O'Brien kids were, I could tell, ooh. Abby was like, patience is amazing right there. Patience. Right? Just like, hey, not even looking, just organizing, right? I love it. And the chorus of kids from everywhere. It's so good. It's so good. We need it. Right? Where was I? But we start with God, right? We start with who God is. We don't start with who we are. We don't start with what our problems are. We don't start with the burden that is in front of us, but we start with who God is. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth. Oh, well, man, if you did that, then, well, let me tell you, I got something a little smaller for you to deal with now. Like, what a great way. What a great perspective. Lord, you made heaven and earth. You somehow designed this little ball of anxious dust. You know what's going on in me. Lord, you made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, the things we know and the things we don't. That's a great beginning of our prayer. And then he goes on, and you spoke by your servant David. He goes to the Bible. So this is Psalm chapter 2. You spoke by your servant David. Has God spoken? He has. God speaks. God speaks to us. So like the idea of the children of Israel in the desert and they had fresh manna every single day. That is like a great way for us to think about how God speaks to us. He speaks to us every single day and what he speaks is enough for us in the day. Do we hear it? Do we hear it? God speaks. When he speaks, it is for a purpose. It is for a direction. It is for the next step. And I give it back to him in prayer. Do you ever give God his promises in return? Remind him of his promises, not that he forgets, but what it is that he loves for us to be engaged with them. He loves to see our faith in action when we say, God, you promised. And I'm not saying some emotional subjective promise, but I'm saying a promise from the word of God. Lord, you promised. You said it in your word. And I'm leaning on that promise and he's there and he's like, yes, that's faith. That is faith. Right? You said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. These guys, after the resurrection, filled with the Holy Spirit, going back to the Old Testament and seeing the reality of Christ in it. And they're saying, Lord, like, we just figured this out. We just figured out you wrote about this with David. Like, speak the words of God back to him in prayer. It's powerful. Have an open Bible in prayer. In prayer, like, it's right there on the table or on the floor or on the bench, wherever you are praying, you have an open Bible. And they say, I don't know what to pray. You go to the Psalms and pray. Read and find a promise and say, Lord, this is what you have said. This is what you have given me. I am going to trust it and I'm going to be like Job where I'm going to esteem your word more than my necessary food. Right? The stomach's grumbling, Lord, but I'm going to take the promises of God right now, and I'm going to lean on them, and I'm going to give them back to you in prayer. And they see it, verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They saw, they say, this was no mistake. They were gathered together. There is a gathering together of something. It is called the Antichrist spirit. It's in the world. And there is a gathering together of the world against Christ. It's always been. But now it's just, there's easier connections, right? With the interweb, and there's like the Facebook and all of these things, right? Like all of these things bring people together. But it is more than just the devices. It is the spirit that is in the world and is gathered against Christ. We were at a prayer thing five years ago back at the Common, Boston Common, Franklin Graham prayer thing. And there was beautiful. I don't know do you remember how many people were there? A few thousand? Yeah, a few thousand people in the Common. I think, yeah, 7,000 people in the Common. And there was one protest. There was one sign. Right, remember? One neon sign, and she was walking up and down. I actually saw that picture the other day. It was a whole group of us. That was so much fun. And then she's walking up and down, right? And like, yeah, you can see it, like she's trying to stir it up a little bit, right? Bumping into somebody. Yeah. But everybody there was just like, oh yeah, go ahead, you know, that's fine. And we were about our Father's business. We were there to pray. And there was this thing, but you know what? It had five things on it, right? It had five things on it. And if you take two of those five things and put them in a room together, it's like explosive. Those two things do not agree. Let alone the five things on that board. Right? Bringing in, it's this gathering together of things that are anti-Christ. And although they cannot agree on anything, they can agree on the biggest thing that they are anti-Christ. But look at the next verse, right? They are recognizing that there is a gathering together. We recognize that there is a gathering together of things against God, against His holy Christ, right? Against His holy servant. But look what verse 28 says. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Oh, who's in control? In His sovereignty, however that works out. However that plays out. We don't know it in time. We don't know it naturally. It can't be perceived. But He is sovereign. And the things that happen do not happen in vain. We could think of the life of Christ, that Christ was unjustly pushed to the cross, but in that there is the redemption of mankind. So whose work was really happening? God's work was happening. And through it, what God meant for evil, what the devil intended for evil, right? What the devil intended for evil, God meant for good. That's Joseph's statement, and you can see that played out throughout the Bible. God is working. This is the third point I want to say about my prayer. First, it starts with Him. Second, it's full of His promises. And third, it is understanding His sovereignty in the whole thing. Understanding His place in the times and the events that we are living in. Are there any surprises to God? No. No, there are no surprises. Even the fall of man, even sin, is not a surprise to God. Hallelujah. You know what that means on the biggest thing, scale? It means that He is not reacting. It means that He is not trying to figure something out. He is not having to produce a response. But He is. He was, He is, He will be. And He does not have to stress about the details, but instead, things are moving forward in His plan. And ultimately, we read about His return, we read about His establishing righteousness on the earth, and we read about a new age that we live in with Him. He is moving. So I think those are three powerful steps in prayer. And those steps of prayer give me the ability to now pray for the things that I need. Not overwhelmed by them, but giving them to God in His place. I think with these three points in prayer, we have peace. I have peace knowing that he is God. I have peace knowing that he has spoken to me and he's given me many promises. I have peace knowing that he is sovereign and he is in control of this whole thing. I have peace. I don't know who said it first, but I've heard it through many first I heard it, Pastor Schaller said it, but then I read it by some, you know, anyway, whatever. Peace is not the absence of trouble. The peace in my life is not the absence of trouble, but instead it's the presence of God. And if I am in the presence of God, I can have peace. Because I can say, Lord, you created it all. Lord, you are God. You are Lord. You have a plan. You have spoken to me. You have given me enough in this Bible to trust you. You have given me enough to know that you know what you're doing. You have given me enough to know that you care for me. You have a plan for me. You are leading me. You will not forsake me. You will not leave me. And I am secure in you. I know that by these promises. And I trust that you are sovereign. Now let me tell you what's going on in my little side of things. Right? That's the prayer. Now, verse 29. Now, Lord, now that we've established that, now that we are refreshed in who you are, now that we have peace in the midst of our trouble, now that we have stability where there is none, now, Lord, look at these guys. Look on their threats. Lord, that is, that, oh, there's no one over there. It's just figurative point, you know. I mean, Leo and Gustavo are over there and Charlie and Dan, but I was just pointing in general, right? Look on their threats, right? Look at the Lord, Lord, we have heard them, but Lord, we give them to you. Lord, you observe these things. You know what's happening. Will you take on these threats? And will you grant to us that with all boldness, we may speak your word? What a prayer. What a radical prayer, isn't it? Like that is like the David's mighty men were this way. Remember, there's a story of a guy who jumped into a pit on a snowy day because there was a lion in the hole. Okay. If you're walking along one day on a snowy day, which I don't want to surprise anyone, it's coming, right? You're walking on a snowy day and you see lion prints in the snow. And you say, wow, those lion tracks are going the same direction I'm going. What would you do? I'm out of there. I'm going. And then you come to this pit and you say, oh look, the lion fell in a pit. I would say, thank, I'm safe. I'm going to avoid the pit and the lion and move about my business. This guy jumps into the pit and he kills the lion. What an animal. Like that, but in a sense, like what an attitude. Like God, you have a plan. Like these things are laid out and based on the markings that I see, like I hear threats, there's intimidation, there's like all this stuff. I see it all going this way, and also I feel you leading me this way, and like I feel a little, like there's a clash coming, Lord. I would rather you give me, like, can we take a right here? Can we like merge right, or can we get off this road? But instead we are saying, okay, Lord, I'm walking. Lord, look what is in the time. Look what the markings that are on the, in the times that I'm living in. Like we're walking together and he brings us to that conflict and we have authority and we have power and we have boldness. And it might be that our time there is significant, a significant light in darkness. Our struggle will be light to other people. Right? Our being in the fight, our standing in the place that God has put us is a light to other people. And they can say, okay, I can do that. Look, he stood. She stood. They stood by faith. God was with them. God gave them victory over something that was bigger than them. God gave them authority and boldness in a time where they were overwhelmed. It's a picture that we show to people, right? And we fight for things. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, show everybody. Show people what you are capable of. We are not even in the picture. Like that is not even about them. They're like, Lord, will you do something by the name of Jesus? We're going to stand in the middle of it, but we need you to act so that people will see you and people will understand your work. And we'll just be like we'll just sit there and hold the sign. It was Jesus. That's all we got to do, right? The things are happening around us and we don't say, Lord, look what I did. Look what I did. Huh? What do you think? No, we say, look what Jesus did. We just stand there with a little sign. We can do it maybe on another Saturday. We can do sign reach out front, right? But we just stand. It was Jesus. That would be a good one. We can make a new one. It was Jesus. Right? Be like, what was? Let me tell you. Right? It was Jesus. When they prayed this type of prayer, there was a result. Something happened. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When they prayed this prayer, this kind of prayer that approaches God for who He is, that trusts in His promises, that rejoices in His work, that it has humility, right? Approaching God with humility. Like this kind of prayer, God responds. And we could say, Lord, I want to shake things up. I want to pray and the ground shakes. Well, is it about the ground shaking? It would be cool. It would be. But it is about God, God encouraging us, God comforting us, God saying yes. Like imagine, this is like God is cheering. He's saying, yeah, that's the kind of prayer I love. As I hear it, I hear you guys. I hear you. I will show up and yeah, and he just shakes the whole place. But God meets us in these prayers. And when we pray a prayer that honors Him, and this will be the message tonight, we didn't get to it this morning, this will be the message tonight, the incense rising, the prayers going up like incense before God. But when we approach God on the merit of Christ, when we approach God on the work of Christ, when we approach God free from our own problems and we approach Him and there is an amazing response and He meets us in it and He says, yes, I hear your prayer. I am answering you. I will give you boldness. And we, in obedience to Him, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we go out. We go out and we have confidence in God. We know who He is. We know what He has said. We know He is in control. And now we know that He has heard us. We know that He is with us. We know that as we go by faith, He is there with us and He has a plan. Isn't it a humbling thought to be in the plan of God? I am in the plan of God. You are in the plan of God. Pastor Van Doren gave me a list of things to say to myself every morning. Isn't that good? He said, Pastor, you need help. I said, oh, I know. Where do we start? No, he said it one day in one of the classes. He said he had this from Ray Steadman. He said, a list of things that you can say to yourself every morning. And we have it written on our whiteboard at home, right? I am loved by God. I am in the plan of God. I am called by God. Right? There's another one. I read it every morning. I forgot it, right? But isn't that a humbling thought to be in the plan of God? As soon as I remember what it is, I can send you a copy. Humbling thought to be in the plan of God. We can say, Lord, I'm not worthy. No. It's not about you. We come to Him and we say, Christ has done it. Christ is worthy. And I'm coming based on what Christ has done. And He says, you are worthy. I have a plan. You are in it. And we say, like, we're not an insignificant part of it either. Everything that God has given us to do is a significant part of what He is doing. So take it. Take it with joy. Take it with, and feel the weight of it in a sense. Like feel the weight of responsibility. And we do. We feel the weight of it in our responsibilities. The thing that God has given us, our families, our marriages, our work, right? Our calling, our position in the church. Like God has given it to us. We feel and we go with it. We walk with it. We say, Lord, this is too heavy for me. But like you say, hey, you are God. You created the whole thing. I trust you. I know what you have said. I know what you were doing. I know you know what you were doing, and I will trust you. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this type of prayer. Thank you for teaching us and leading us in prayer. I ask that you would draw us to prayer more and more in these days that we're living in, and that we would recognize you, hear you, be moved by you, Lord. Thank you. And if there's anybody here this morning, you've never put your faith in Christ, you've never received the gift of salvation, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my heart and live. Give me the gift of eternal life. And by faith in that, if you have put your faith in Christ, just raise your hand this morning. We'll pray with you. Okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Teach us to pray like this. We want to see you working in our lives. We want to see you working in the in our community, in our church, and in the world we live in. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.